The Mystery of the Serpent by B. F. Jackson. Book 1. Kali, the female of the serpent system. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept. Line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. For with stammering lips and another tongue will he speak to his people. Isa, 28:9-11. Prologue. The disposition of being improperly curious caused me to enlist in the United States Navy in 1919. The second ship in which I served was the battleship U.S.S. Wyoming, in which the chaplain was Father Brady. After getting accustomed to ship's routine, I began plying him with questions. First, I wanted to know all about the Catholic Church, because I had been brought up as a Baptist and did not understand his Sunday services, the first portion of which was exclusively Catholic. He gave me an old, dog-eared Catholic history book and turned me loose on my own. Next, I wanted to know all about biblical history, because I could not understand it. I also wanted to know what became of the 10 tribal house of Israel, the 10 lost tribes. Father Brady admitted he did not know what became of Israel, although he believed the people still existed amidst the Gentiles in similar manner as the Jews, the brethren. I argued, however, that the Jew is readily recognized by his peculiar mental and physical characteristics, and if he is a brother of lost Israel, then, is it not logical to believe the house of Israel would have the same characteristics? If so, where were they? You cannot conceal a people who Jehovah declared to Abraham would ultimately be as numerous as the stars above and the sand on the seashore. Father Brady could not answer. On one occasion when I inquired of him the reason for wars between Christian nations of white men, he said, "Sparks, in the first place, it is impossible to understand current events unless one inquires into turmoil of yesteryear which still had its roots in the remote past. Wars do not happen of their own accord or by accident, they are man-made. One must understand the cause of things which seem of no importance or are incomprehensible. One must discover whether or not there are secret strings moving men to action or binding them to inaction during religious, political, financial and economical crisis which burst forth without warning and without any logical reason. One must know whether or not the rulers of nations are the real rulers or merely puppets. Above all, take the attitude of Sir Patrick Manson, 1844-1922, who once said, "Never refuse to see what you do not want to see, or what might go against your own cherished hypothesis or against the views of authorities. These are just the clues to follow up, as is also, and emphatically so, the thing you have never seen or heard before. The thing you cannot get a pigeonhole for is the finger point showing the way to discovery." 6. The Mystery of the Serpent. Apparently that was meant for a challenge. I accepted it as such, and in 1931, after being transferred to the U.S. Asiatic Fleet, I joined the Masonic fraternity in quest of more light, and soon advanced to the 32nd degree in the Scottish Rite in WLI. CH I began studying the Hindu scriptures and comparing them with our Bible. That study was supplemented with the divine revelation in the Great Pyramid of Giza at Cairo, Egypt, Oriental and Occidental history in out of th-way books, papers, pamphlets and manuscripts which had escaped the senses. Masonically speaking, while traveling east I met many Scottish and York Rite Masons and the light bearers for Christ stationed along the Eastern Highway. One traveler was an Indian Sikh of the Scottish Rite bodies and high in the Sikh mysteries. With his assistance, the gods, devils and fantasia in the Hindu scriptures were swept aside to reveal in the language of symbolism the entire ancient Adamic messianic prophecy foretold by our Enoch of the Adamic line of Seth. Subsequently, I began working with Naval Intelligence of the U.S. Asiatic Fleet and 4th Regiment of U.S. Marines. In that work and my journeys with the Light Bearers of Christ, high degree Scottish and York Rite Masons, I discovered the answer to the major question which I had been seeking: why did Jehovah form the children of Israel for his kingdom on earth? Why did he need a kingdom in the material plane? Why did he send his Christ Son of Righteousness, the man Jesus Christ, to that people to draw up a new covenant after they broke the first? If it was essential to do all of that, then is it not logical to believe the devil has always been tangible and he has a race of tangible people to sabotage and destroy God's kingdom and its work amidst man? If so, then who is the devil, and who are his people? I found the answer: Christ came into the material plane to renew the covenant with the children of Israel to destroy the devil and his race. The Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian and Nordic people are the house of Israel as God's kingdom. The people we know as Jews are the kingdom of the devil, and he has always been the king. Since time immemorial, they have been known in Asia as the serpent race. There are three branches of this race: the Ashkenazim, Khazar and Sephardic Jews in Christendom, and the Black Jews in Asia. They are proud of being satanic because they say it makes them a race of God men. They hate God and man, yet for expediency, Jews in Christendom pretend to worship Jehovah and love man. In all ages they have been the sponsors and financiers of all wars. They promote republican principles, yet they themselves have no use for them, because communism js the religion. However, they make use of our freedom, liberty and constitution for a screen behind which to hide while the mystery of the serpent seven. Undermining our church and state and all law and order in Asia and Africa. The system of boycotting, sabotaging, ransacking and destruction is known as the serpent system, which is so enormous, silent and sinister the average person in Anglo-Saxondom does not know it exists. The serpent system is the practical application of the Luciferian doctrine. It is entirely oriental and occult. It is sponsored and directed by Satan as the uncrowned senior king of the Jews and his 12-membered cabinet, whose capital for centuries was the forbidden city of Lhasa, Tibet. Yet, since 1950, Tel Aviv, Palestine has been the capital, and Moscow, London and New York City are the lesser capitals, screening Tel Aviv from public view. Under the king of the Jews is one roving ambassador and two princes who direct the international government of the devil, consisting of 1,922,627 Jews equally divided between the eastern and western hemispheres. The religion of the serpent race is anti-God, anti-Christ and anti-man communistic Satanism. The movement is spiritual and material. The former sponsors and partially finances all oriental occultism in Christendom and the thing going under the name of scientific Christianity in order to deliberately break down and destroy all faith in and the worship of God. The material portion of that system sponsors all un-American activities, anarchistic Bolshevism, Fabianism and socialistic communism. Behind the two branches stands Satan, who today is the Turco-Mongol Jew Prince Abdul Baraba Baha, whose temporary residence is John Hopkins University, Baltimore, Maryland, United States of America. He was brought here from Moscow, Russia by Jew Owen Lattimore, and Jewry's Supreme Grand Orient Freemasonic Lodge of Ben Iberith in New York City proclaimed him as Jewry's God in 1950. That devil's power reaches out through Ben Iberith to clutch the throat of every government in the world. He is the current unseen hand, and Jews Bernard Mansbrook, Felix Frankfurter, Henry Morgenthau, Jr., and U.S. Senator Herbert H. Lehman are the power in that satanic hand in America. Prior to being transferred to the U.S. Asiatic Fleet, I did not pay much attention to civilian thought. Returning home, however, I saw a people totally strangers, even though they were my kindred and countrymen. The change was as drastic as though one were to walk out into bright sunlight from a dark room, yet the average person did not, or does he today, seem to notice any change. While reflecting on the condition, I observed the change was taking place prior to 1931, yet I had been closer to civilian thought than I realized, because 8. The mystery of the serpent. I was a part of our national mind, and did not observe the gradual transformation. HOME again, however, I knew the change was produced and is perpetuated by the insidious pressure of the serpent system in complete control of the very heartbeat of America through our press, radio, our corded music, television, and motion pictures, which move our people in one direction then another in vast surging tidal waves of emotion in a deliberate plot to ruthlessly debilitate our national mind so we will not contemplate the gradual undermining of church and state and even our personal lives. It is war to destroy the white race, a war waged by the serpent race for the pure love of evilness. I made an investigation and discovered the serpent race was dominating the field of religion through the Federal Council of Churches of Christ and the National Conference of Christians and Jews. Clergymen by the thousands were spewing forth modernism, tolerance for anti-Christian methods, mongrelization and internationalism instead of Christ, the scriptures, the glorious plan of spiritual salvation, the preservation of our rugged white mental and spiritual superiority and initiative, and the love of our nation. To my dismay, I discovered new fair dealism had undermined the very foundation of our great republic, the Constitution of the United States of America. I found political corruption had extended its slimy tentacles from the White House to the small villages and farms so as to deliberately destroy all moral and spiritual values. I was appalled at the discovery of sex degenerates employed in our national capital. I found treason excused, betrayal of our nation condoned by the president and his administration, the armed forces sabotaged, our natural resources deliberately wasted, and onerous unconstitutional taxes consuming the fruit of all endeavor and labor. I found the colored minorities sullen, rebellious and in a state of turmoil, the great white majority perplexed and confused, neither one proud of its race and heritage, and the barriers let down for the destruction of all. Everywhere I turned I met defeat. My own kin laughed me to scorn, do not be carried away with your enthusiasm, they say. Cultivate the team spirit, forget politics, it is only the game of crooks. To hell with Christianity, it is only for feeble-minded people. Relax, enjoy yourself. Has not world turmoil come out all right in the past? A serpent race. You are crazy. My whole being revolted against such a satanic system in which church dogma and doctrine, national and state legislation encourages Christian apostasy, indifference to un-American and unconstitutional activities to such an extent that the basic and fundamental structure of our personal and national life is in jeopardy. The mystery of the serpent 9. If the elected guardians of this nation can do or will do nothing about the situation, then it is up to individuals who call themselves men to try. The plot and the nature of the conspirators must be exposed. With that thought in mind, I got in communication with my former shipmates in naval intelligence and laid my plan before them and requested their assistance. It is not the business of those people to inquire into motives of cause and effect of world events. The job is to obtain intelligence about the sponsors of conspiracy, not to seek the long-term motive behind it, and if they could give me names of the key traitors in this nation, I would have invaluable data with which to work. With their assistance, I began working to build a tower of truth. Soon, however, I discovered there still were American nationalists worthy of being called men, men with dignity and proud of the white race, men still capable of loving God and country, men still capable of comprehending constitutional government, men backed up by the women as loyal and courageous as themselves. From our mutual work, we have constructed an instrument to fight the powers of satanic darkness with the power of light for Christ, for country, for our race, for the ultimate destiny of man. It is this study, which, because of necessity, we compose in a series of pamphlets which we dedicate to America's survival in this final struggle of World War III as Armageddon, into which jury in America, working as one with the JEWs in the Kremlin in Moscow, Russia, have plunged us in order to annihilate Christianity and the white race perish in the attempt. The mystery of the serpent. In biblical prophecy, the number 44 signifies the beast of lies. He is Satan. Accordingly, after 44 years of lying about the book, the plot of the Jews, the protocols of the learned elders of Zion, being a non-Jew forgery, the leaders of Jewry in America on the night of the 5th of February 1949 bragged to what they supposed to have been an all-Jewish audience in the Shriners Auditorium, Los Angeles, California, that the protocols are authentically the blueprint of world conquest by the serpent race of Jews. The protocols are Jewry's own property, and the conspiracy against God and man in them is an accomplished fact. Except to collapse America's economy and finances, then seize the government and destroy the independence of this nation. Yet they declared that would be accomplished before the end of 1953. It is time that we stood up to be counted. In the very first paragraph of Protocol Number 3, the leaders of Jewry admit Jewry is the serpent race of Satan. We first observe that reptilian race in the third chapter of Genesis in our Bible. In the Hindu scriptures, he is called Shesha, which is pronounced Shaitan, Satan. He is symbolized as being a 12-headed cobra. Actually, the heads are 12 high-degree Ben-Iberith Jews, as the cabinet of the king of the Jews. That king today is the Asiatic Turco-Mongol Jew Prince Abdul Baraba Baha. He is the brains of Shaitan the serpent. A portion of his teeth and claws are the members of the Anti-Defamation League, which is an unconstitutional Gestapo organized in the United States in 1913 by Jewry's exclusive Grand Orient Freemasonic Lodge of Ben-Iberith, so as to force out of circulation any truth remotely connecting the word Jew with the world conspiracy against God and man, and also to prevent as far as possible the truth being published about the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian and Nordic people being the House of Israel as God's kingdom in the material plane. The axis of Shaitan's spinal column are two princes of the Jews and one roving ambassador who answer to no one but the king of the Jews. Shaitan has 7 vertebrae in his backbone. His spinal cord has 1,000 nerve fibers. They are the Luciferian priesthood known in Christendom as the learned elders of Zion. They are equally divided between the western and eastern hemispheres. His nerve system is a 7x7 super secret organization known as the Kahila. The vertebrae in his backbone are 7 offices from which emanate the nerve system consisting of 7 ministers under 7 archsenses, 7×7=49 ministers. Under each minister are 7 heralds, 12 the MYSTERYOF the serpent. 7×49,343 heralds. Under each herald are 7 couriers, 7×343=2,401 couriers. Under each courier are 7 scribes, 7×2,401=16,807 scribes. Under each scribe are 7 auditors, 7×16,807=117,649 auditors. Under each auditor are 7 mutes, 7×117,649=823,543 mutes. With the 500 Luciferian priests, the archsenses, the king and prince, there are 961,301 Jews in each hemispherical Kahila section. Adding the 24 Beni Berith Jews in the 2 cabinets of the king and his Kurgant and the roving ambassador, there are 1,922,627 Jews in the hemispherical brains and nerve system of Shaitan the serpent. That cabal and the Jewish race are the brains, nerve system, teeth, claws, backbone and body of Satan in the material plane, and the collective evilness is the devil and his demons in the spiritual plane. That is the talking snake who spiritually sabotaged our Adamic progenitors. It is a race of material vampires. It is a counterfeit race of devils not created by God. It is on display as such in Job 26, 5 PSA 88, 10 Pro 218, 918, 21, 6 Isa 14, 9 and 26, 9, in which the original Hebraic for the word dead is rephaim, which means the shades of spiritual and material death. Jude 12 says they are twice dead, spiritually and materially, plucked up by the roots. Then, Mark 4:11, 12:15, Luke 11:44, John 7:33, 34:8-43-47, 9:27, Acts 2:47, Heb. 13:20 and 2 Peter 2:4-12 show they are born spiritually dead from the womb. God put in man a certain genealogical power to cause the marrow of the bones to generate blood for the life of flesh, Lev. 17:11. Jury lacks that power, he steals it from man, however, in mongrelization. The satanic dead vampire is manifest in what we have believed was Jewry's white blood corpuscles. In man, they are round, yet shaped differently for each race. That is one reason God established the divine law for the various races not to mongrelize. In Jewry, however, the white blood corpuscles are long and stringy, and divine law forbids all humanity to mongrelize with the devil's serpent race because the children will in turn be vampire and totally cut off from God. In times past, the serpent race absorbed entire nations in order to renew the life force in the bone marrow. Ezek 28:12-19 and Psalm 49:26 show the vampire condition. The latter states, "And I, God, will feed them that oppress thee, Israel, with their own flesh, and they shall be drunken with their own blood as with sweet wine, and all flesh shall know that I am the Lord and thy Savior and thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob." Isaiah makes it plain that he is speaking about the counterfeit race of Satan who we know as Jews. In Isa 14:29-27, 1 and 65:25, he mentions them as the serpent, which is written in the Hebraic to the mystery of the serpent 13. Mean the counterfeit race of the original material beast who we know as Satan, the same as the father of the Luciferian beast in Ezek 28. In Isa 49:26, the word feed is akal in the original Hebraic. It means to consume away. If Isaiah had meant the serpent race would turn cannibal and feed on itself, the word feed would have been nahal. If they were thrown into jail as in Rev 20 and given due flesh to eat when they asked for food and said, "Feed me," the word would have been lat. If they could feed themselves and they were given due flesh or any proper nourishment, the word feed would have been kul. Isaiah, therefore, graphically shows when Zek 14:21 and Rev 20:1-3 are consummated, the serpent race of Jews will be isolated from humanity and the faculty of Jewry's bones to produce blood corpuscles will gradually be lost until the race will stagger from weakness, which will gradually consume the race. Mongrelization with man is essential so Jewry can renew the depleted life force. Extensive mongrelization can change the outward appearance so much that the Jewish characteristics are difficult, if not impossible, to perceive. when that occurs and Satan is about to transform himself into a human automatically possessing the life force of God, divine law intervenes and the next generation reverts back with all the physical characteristics known as Jewish, and that line of Satan is entirely sterile. The vampire condition is in three categories, and they are spiritual and material. The first phase is as above. Secondly, the instinctive craving to murder man spiritually. It is accomplished by subtle suggestions which causes man to think erroneously, which generates a destructive electro-cosmic field of oscillatory disequilibrium in his brain cavity, which thrusts him out of conscious contact with God and spiritually kills him. That field can be measured with electronic instruments, and scientists know it is directly the presence of that field which makes man's body deteriorate and eventually die of old age. Jewry is greedy to shed man's blood in murder and wars, John 8:44, Matt 23:35. The third phase of the vampire condition is the stealthy approach unto man on his snake belly of sham worship of God and being the chosen people of God. Drawing near an intended victim amidst the darkness of misrepresented brotherhood, liberalism, equality and fraternity, he hypnotizes the victim with a flickering spiritually black forked tongue of exaggerated friendliness and humane feeling, and by time he is in striking distance the victim is mentally paralyzed in respect to Jew chicanery. Then, without any resistance, the serpent swallows the victim by first marrying into his family, then absorbs it in mongrelization in efforts to steal the life force put in it by God. Racial characteristics of man are ignored by the serpent race. All. 14. The mystery of the serpent. It is interested in is stealing the life force put in man by God. While doing it, he steals every important thing man creates. The prophet Ezekiel calls T1 a characteristic a cormorant because there is no Hebraic for a vampire, BJT. While preying on man, that vampire race utterly corrupts him, yet pretends to assist elevate him to the zenith of spiritual attainment. 2 Peter 2:11, 12 throws light on the condition when he says, whereas angels which are greater in power and might bring not railing accusations against them before the Lord. But these, as natural brute beasts, made to be taken and destroyed, speak evil of things that they understand not, and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. The original Greek for that word, natural, is phusikos. It means things born in one. Brute is allogos, or without life. Beast is zoon, a living creature. Made is geneo, or conceive, bring forth in childbirth. Take is halosen, or with a view to capture. Destroyed is eis thoron, or corrupt. Perish is katathero, or to corrupt utterly. Thus, the original declaration of Saint Peter is these, livipeg dead things are conceived and brought forth in childbirth with the view born in them to capture man and corrupt him utterly. Peter and Jude graphically show they are speaking about none other than Jewry. They are speaking about the same conditions. Jude 9 shows the angel is Michael and the brute beast is the devil, who, according to the personal family record of Jewry's current god, Prince Abdul Baraba Baha, was the serpent Prince Nahar. The first record of that counterfeit race is in the third chapter of Genesis. The word serpent in that chapter is Nashash in the original Hebraic. There are three ways of composing the word Nashash. The root is composed with three characters, the first of which is shaped similar to a round-bottomed W with a dot above the right-hand arm. The second is similar to the pi ratio sign. The third to a very poor figure 3. Written thus, it means, divine, learn by experience, observe diligently, use enchantment, an enchanter. When the word contains a dash or bar under the second and third character s, it means occult science, witchcraft, black magic. When a dot is included under the bars, the word means the serpent race fathered by the original material Satan, and the race is the racial body of Satan in similar manner as the Anglo-Saxon, Celtic, Scandinavian and Nordic people are the racial body of Israel. The serpent in Gen 3 is written with the bars and dots under the two last characters to prove he is Satan's cursed serpent race of Jews, and the word Jew is Yehudim in the Hebraic, Aramaic and Greek, which means the race cursed by God. The word s.erpent makes its next appearance in Gen 49, 17. It is written w it out the bars and dots under the second and third character in the Hebraic. When we study the contents of Gen 49, we the mystery of the serpent 15. Observe, Israel is prophesying about Dan would become an honorable judge in the house of Israel, Nashash, learn by experience, observe diligently. Today, Dan is the Irish, Hollanders, Belgians and Scandinavian people. The adder in Gen 49, 17 symbolizes the Nashash, as an enchanter, enchantment. Dan's ancient coat of arms was a coiled adder standing on its tail. Dan is standing today while enchanting our people with secular facts that he was the scouts of the Caucasian race moving out of Eurasia toward the appointed place of 2 Sam. 710 and Icron. 17.9 in 220 AD. We do not have space in this study to list the books that tell the truth of whom Israel is today. It is a study in itself. Yet interested ones can obtain the list from Destiny Publishers, Haverhill, Mass. U.S. A. and the Covenant Publishers, 6 Buckingham Gate, London, S. W. 1, England. The word serpent makes its next appearance in Exo. 4, 3 and 7:15 in which it is Nashash. It is written without bars and dots under the last two characters. Written thus, and see, Lou's study of the chapters, we know the word means divine. Then why did Moses run from it? The fire in the burning bush in Exo. 3 was divine, yet it aroused his curiosity which brought a warning from God. We know that fire was divine, because it is Esh in the Hebraic. It was the manifestation of Jehovah's power being translated into the material plane. It was a corona of cosmic electricity similar to the corona observed at R-Tite around a copper transmission line carrying 100,000 or more volts of electricity. In the vicinity of that bush was generated a tremendous field of cosmic energy. That is the reason Jehovah told Moses to remove his shoes so he would be thoroughly grounded and would not be spiritually electrocuted. Or, as the text says, the ground was holy. The Hebraic for that word, holy, is kodesh, or a sanctuary. If that is so, then what was the serpent that frightened Moses when he cast his rod upon the ground? A portion of the answer is in that word, rod. Originally, it was matter. It means a staff. Then, in Exo 4:8, God says to Moses, if they will not believe you, neither hearken to the voice of the first plus or minus sign, then they will believe the voice of the latter sign. The first sign was in the rod. The second occurred when Moses thrust his hand into his coat. The first word, voice, is QOL. It means crackling. That word QOL is written with 3 Hebraic characters. The second voice is also QOL, yet written with only 2 characters, which means lightness. It verifies verse 6 as to Moses' hand was leprous as snow. Then, the first word, sign, is off. It means ensign, badge, a rank of power. The second, sign, is also off, but it means miracle. 16. The mystery of the serpent. We observe, therefore, when Moses cast his shepherd's staff upon the ground, divine power changed it into the anchor as the scepter of the high priest of the order of Melchizedek which God conferred upon Moses. The voice of the dank was the crackling sound of cosmic electricity running over it. That power was the Nashash, or serpent, which frightened Moses because he was shocked by its spiritual force. In Exo 7, 9, 10, 12, however, Moses cast the ankh upon the ground in front of Pharaoh and the cosmic energy changed it into a serpent. That word, serpent, originally was tanan. It means a howling dragon, a howling lizard which make a noise similar to choku. In Num 21, 6 and Ute 8, 15 are fiery serpents. That word, fiery, in the Hebraic, is seraph. It means burning, blazing. Sometimes it is seraphim. Both have the same meaning as something hot. That word, serpent, is Nashash, and is written without the bars and dots under the last two characters. Written thus, and by close study of the chapters, one observes that serpent is an enchanter, something which enchanted the people. In Deut 8:15, the Hebraic for the word scorpion is akrib, which is just an ordinary scorpion, yet the serpents are not snakes. It holds for Exo 21, 6, 7. What then are the fiery serpents sent by God to bite and kill the people? That word, fiery, as a seraph, and the serpents, as Nashash, or enchanter, are the clues proving the fiery serpents are heat waves caused by sun heat radiating from the dry ground, which, when observed from a distance, formed into shimmering undulating mirages, seraphim. That unfamiliar spectacle enchanted Nashash, our Israelite progenitors, and they received sunstroke and were dangerously blistered by the tremendous summer heat after, the people spoke against God and Moses, and refused to get in the shade of the tents. Moses warned them to keep in the shade during the heat of the day, but the stiff-necked people ignored him and remained outdoors to look at the enchanting mirages constantly changing from one spectacle to another. Many of the people died from sunstroke and severe sunburn. Those not dying yet were weakened with high fever, appealed to Moses to save them. He could have used his power and cured them, but it would have been useless. They were so rebellious that, as soon as they had been cured, they would have again defied him. To convince them he knew what he was talking about, he let them suffer and learn the hard way. They would not rely on him for anything when the going got tough. Without something to look at and remind them of Moses' warning to remain in the shade during the heat of the day, they would go the headlong way and continue exposing themselves to sunstroke and sunburn while declaring they were rugged enough not to be hurt. The mystery of the serpent 17. Therefore, in Num. 21:9 is the record where Moses installed a brass serpent on a pole in the center of the camp. That word, serpent, is nashash in the original. Moses, however, did not install it for the people to worship and appeal to cure snake bit as many Christian clergymen have preached, or ignored it because their idea of it was that of an idol. Now idol worship is forbidden by God. To preach it as an idol, which God told Moses to install, would be contrary to his word. Therefore, that portion of our scriptures is ignored by many clergymen. The occults have seized hold of that serpent, and declare our Israelite progenitors worship the Ophidian God who is Satan, symbolized as the serpent of divine wisdom, and our God gave approval. Anazim UCH, as God told Moses to set it up, the Ophites declare the tribal God of Israel knows Satan is more powerful than he. God, however, never told Moses to install an image of the Ophite devil. In Num. 21:8 is where he tells Moses to install the fiery serpent. That serpent is a nashash, and it means an enchanter in the original Hebraic text. The word, fiery, is seraphim. What, then, is that serpent? It is nothing more than a flat or concave polished brass disc to serve as a thermometer installed in the middle of the camp so it could be observed from any angle. When it became hot in the sun and its temperature increased as the sun approached zenith, heat wave seraphim began radiating from it. At the maximum temperature, the radiation would be so intense one looking at it would see a spectacle as though the radiated heat was water pouring in every direction, similar to water flowing down the outer surface of a glass window pane while one looks at it from inside the room. When our progenitors saw that fiery radiation, it was a solemn warning that the temperature out in the sun rays was too intense and they had better get in the tents and remain until the heat slacked off in the late afternoon. That time was indicated when the brass enchanter ceased radiating. Those formerly receiving minor sunstroke and sunburn were cured by remaining in the tents. I do not know how high the temperature rises in the Arabian desert in summer, but Mr. B. Seabrook, in his book, Adventures in Arabia, says it is so severe that one will even blister in the shade of a moving motor car. To prevent it, it is necessary for white men to wear heavy woolen clothes. He says he preferred being parboiled that way rather than roasted with light summer clothes on. On the plains of Cambodia, French Indochina, I have experienced during the dry season a temperature rise to 150 degrees Fahrenheit in the shade. In the open sun rays, the temperature is so intense, the exposure to it is similar to one walking into an open fire, and the 18, the mystery of the serpent. Flaming fiery serpents, seraphim, are very much alive and active on the distant landscape. They are mirages produced by heat waves and sing from the dry ground. They form in various shapes. Occasionally they seem to be a waterfall or cataract, except the water falls upward. On other occasions they seem to be a lake of shimmering silver. Other times they seem to be millions of headless white snakes chasing one another over the landscape. Occasionally one seems to see a high wave of shimmering molten glass rapidly approaching. There still lingers in Anglo-Saxondom an old saying that the sun heat waves are lazy Lawrence. Obviously, the expression has come down from our progenitors' 40 years of probation in the Arabian and Sinai deserts when they lazed around the tents during the heat of the summer days. In modern steel mills, those same fiery, burning serpents, seraphim, can be observed in the blast furnaces when the temperature reaches a certain degree of white heat. They are a glowing red color, whereas the main fire is white. They resemble big fat lizards about 12 inches long. They are known to steel workers as fire lizards. The same fiery serpents are again observed in Isa 36, in Deut. 32:24, however, the serpent is a snake. In the original manuscript it is zachel. The word can be used for a snake, a worm, or to be afraid. In 2 Kings 18:4 is the record of King Hezekiah destroying the brass thermometer made by Moses because the people still believed it contained life and was an object of worship to them. In PSA 141, the word man is Adam in the original. It graphically shows the men of Israel's household are of the Adamus race. They had sharpened the tongues like a serpent, verse 3. That word, sharpened, is latish, or to instruct. The word serpent is nashash and written with bars and dots to show he is of Satan's race. Any instruction coming from that source is the philosophy of hate. It is denoted in the word poison, which is chema, or heat, fury, anger. The word adder is akashub, which is the female viper in Mat. 3, 7 and co-relating passages. She is Kali, the poisonous female of Jury's beast system. In Pro 23:32, the serpent and adder are the same as in PSA 143. The serpent in Pro 30:19, however, is the enchanting, quivering waves caused by rocks radiating the sun heat. It is denoted by the word serpent is nashash and written without bars and dots under the last two characters in the original Hebraic. In Ekel 10:8-11, the serpent is nashash and written with the bars and dots to show he is of Satan's counterfeit race. It is further denoted in the word hedge in verse 8, which is gadah in the Hebraic. It means a wall as one's protection in the law. The word bite, the mystery of the serpent 19. In both verses is nashak, or to lend upon usury. Surely the son of Satan will lend upon usury without enchantment. Verse 11, when one breaks the law, he loans on usury as our bail bond brokers. In LSA 65.25, the serpent is nashash and written with dots and bars to prove he is the cursed race of Jews soon to be banished from Israel's Christian world. The wolf symbolizes people in the house of Israel who have not accepted Christ Jesus, whereas the lamb are those accepting him. The lion symbolizes the Lion of Judah, and the bullock symbolizes Ephraim, who is England. The straw which they are going to eat together is clean, uncontaminated peace after the serpent race of Jews has been banished from Christendom to eat dust for the next 1,000 years. That word dust is afa, or rubbish, which will be the spiritual, mental and material food of Jewry exiled out in Mongolia and Tibet, from whence his ancestral father Cain came when he went into the land of Nod, which means wandering, in the Hebraic. In Jer 8:17, the serpents and cockatrices are the same counterfeit race of the devil. In Isa 14:29 is a prophecy for this era. The serpent is nashash and written with the bars and dots to prove he is of Satan's serpent race of Jews. Isaiah says its offspring would be a poisonous cockatrice. It was a female. During Isaiah's time she was called Lshtar. Today, she has adopted her original Hindu name of Kali. She is the deadness in Jewry's blood system as the vampire of that counterfeit race. She is the adder in PSA 58:3-4, the viper in Mat 3:7-12:34-23:33, LNKE 3:7, the woman in Zek 5:7 and Rev 17:1-6. Notwithstanding the Jew lie that, the later is the Roman Catholic Church. The serpent in Isa 14:29 was the Luciferian priesthood and Satan in Babylon from 721 to 330 B.C. A relative of theirs exalted himself as God in India in 600 B.C. He was the king of the Naga or serpent race in that land. Since time immemorial, the king of the serpent race has been the current eldest son of the the original crown prince of hell. He was worshipped as Lucifer, yet see, old God. The record of the one exalting himself as God in 600 B.C. is the first secular record of the exaltation in India, whereas his record in the Hindu scriptures goes back to about 35,000 B.C. when Enoch of the Adamic line of Seth says in his messianic prophecy Satan first came out of the dimension of spirit, a counterfeit material beast making his appearance amidst man contrary to divine law. Isa 14:29 is so big we have to stand at a distance and observe it from PSA 58:3-4 on through the book of Revelations and verify it by the serpent's own record. At this occasion, however, we will not dwell on Isa 14:20. Any further than to observe the meaning of the Hebrew words which say, rejoice not thou, whole Palestine, because the rod of him that smote thee is broken, for out of the serpent's root shall. 20. The mystery of the serpent. Come a cockatrice, and his or her fruit shall be a fiery flying serpent. The original for that word rod is shebet. It is a scepter. It is the original caduceus as the emblem of Kali's power, the emblem of witchcraft or occulty science. The first serpent is nashash. It is written with bars and dots under the last two characters. Written thus, it proves he is of Satan's serpent race of Jew vampires. The word root is shorsh, bottom. It is the bottomless pit of hell in the upside down floor of the synagogue of Satan. The word cockatrice is sepa. It is an adder or viper, which seems to be an ordinary snake. It would, if not connected with Satan's serpent race. When connected with that race, we know that cockatrice is the whoring mother spirit, or the vampire condition of Jewry's bloodstream. The fruit of that cockatrice is peri. It means a branch. The word fiery is seraph burning one. The word flying is uph to be faint, be weary, flee away, wax faint. The second serpent is seraph, a burning, fiery, stinging. Yes, she will be a burning, fiery, stinging reptile. She is Kali, the prostituting blood-drunk mother spirit of a race of religious cutthroats and murderers. As the material or masculine cockatrice, he is the Ashkenazim Khazar Jews in Christendom and the Biak Juju Jews of Asia, in who is the satanic force of the night prowling vampire Kali, the female cockatrice of Jewry's serpent system. With that whoring spirit within them, they pretend to be faint, always weary because they are persecuted. To hear them tell it, just because they are unfortunate to be born Jews, they flee from justified punishment when the sabotage and destruction smacks them in the face. They wax faint after every pogrom, but they press on with one thought constantly burning within them, a fiery, stinging, spiritually depraved sense of revenge against people who formerly gave them sanctuary out of pity, refuse to bow to Jewry and lower themselves to his level, then surrender to that counterfeit race and permit it to rule supreme with its subjects clamped in the so-called benevolence of Talmudic slavery. Satan's serpent race bobs up again in Job 26. He is the same breed as the one in LSA 1429. Another track is observed in Job 24 as the low chicanery of Satan's vampire race, whom Job calls, he occasionally, and he is Satan as Bildad's god. Bildad and his companions are Canaanite Sabine serpent mongrels. Another snake track is observed in Job's 25th chapter, where Bildad is praising Satan and condemning God. He says to Job, how then can man be justified with God? So come on over to Satan's house, Job. His light of the Luciferian doctrine shines on all good men. God even looks with scorn on the moon and stars, but Satan is wiser, he worships them. How can God love a man who God looks on as a worm and the son of a worm? The mystery of the serpent 21. But Job answered and said, how have you, Bildad, helped him that is without power? How save you the arm that has no strength? Dead things are FCE, one candela from under the waters, and from under the inhabitants thereof. Job 26, I 2, 5. That compound word dead things is rephaim in the original Hebrew. It means the shades of spiritual and material death. It is the twice dead serpent race of Jew vampires. In Job 25, the word dominion is mashal, to cause, to rule. Fear is pachad, dread. Peace is shalom, favor. The high places in Maram, a person in authority. Light is or enlightened. Arise is kum, abide. Thus, Bildad says his God, the Jew race, causes fear to rule when a Jew favors one in authority. Jewry's favors to man then and now is preceded with the lowest form of servility, bootlicking, then loaning money to an individual or a government so as to obligate them to him. When Satan as a Jew has obligated one to his beast system, his Luciferian doctrine ensures him that man's instinct to be honorable compels him to respond, and inasmuch as the Jew seems so harmless, while being so meticulous in his duties, he is given a position of authority and trust. After securing that advantageous position, the Jew gradually puts forward hidden suggestions for various unnecessary projects which the superior non-Jew ultimately believes are necessary, and the initiative seems to be his. The projects are started and he unconsciously does the very bidding of the Jew, whose slithering chicanery gradually undermines the business until the damage is beyond repair before the superior awakens to what has occurred. Perhaps he trusts the Jew to such an extent that he will never awaken to the truth. He takes the responsibility as being negligent for permitting his business to decline, and he discovers he is denied further credit at the bank presided over by another Jew secretly in league with the traitor in his office. Satan then offers to reciprocate the former favors he received and offers to buy one's business in apparent sincere efforts to prevent one from becoming a total failure. One has no alternative. The offer is generous. One accepts the offer, and one's work created out of one's genius passes into the parasitical hands of the blood-sucking vampire, who then goes to his brother Jew in the bank to refinance the business for speculative purposes. The traitorous beast then sells the property at an enormous profit while his former employer commits suicide because he believes he is a failure. The traitor and his banker brother then divide the loot between themselves in accordance with Lucifer's law in the Shulchan Aruch section of the Talmud, which says, when a Jew makes a deal with a non-Jew, and another Jew comes up and deceives the non-Jew, no matter in what manner, whether. 22. The mystery of the serpent. He gives him false measure or overcharges him, then both Jews must share between them the profits thus sent by Jehovah. On other occasions, when one becomes obligated to a Jew in any manner and he learns one's weakness or discovers a secret which one is ashamed of and is desirous of keeping it out of public cognizance, one is then in the power of the Luciferian reptile. when the superior awakens to the chicanery and takes measures to divest himself of the cruelly influence, the Jew bears his poisonous serpent fangs and badly demands to be given supreme power, he will expose the secret to public view. If the superior defies the Jew, the latter very piously gives information about the secret to the newspapers in what he declares is service to the public. Another Jew then broadcasts it over the radio so as to kill the confidence of the public in the victim. The blind public does the rest and throws the good man out of office and destroys his public usefulness, while the hypocritical, blackmailing Jew is held up as a public benefactor. When Satan has accomplished his dirty work, he then slithers into the vacant chair to suck his living out of our people if the occasion warrants it. If, however, it is not expedient for him to take the chair at the time, he suggests to other superior non-Jews that a certain man, a non-Jew, is more capable than him to discharge the duties of the office. In that manner Satan remains in darkness behind the certain man, who is always of weak character and submits to the Jew's very bidding out of fear of losing his well-paid job or of being character assassinated. In respect to Satan getting peace in high places of our government and nation, Dean Acheson, Secretary of State, and President Harry S. Truman are the certain men of whose sponsored conspiracy Senator Joseph McCarthy speaks of in the Congressional Record for the 14th of March 1951. Mr. Owen Lattimore, the State Department's advisor, praised the State Department for having succeeded in allowing China to fall to the communists without letting it appear to the world that we had shoved it. It is almost incredible, but it is a matter of record. He then goes on to say, the thing to do, therefore, is to also let South Korea fall, but do not let it be known that we pushed her, hence the recommendation for a parting grant of $150 million. The picture of Western Europe, Mr. President, is much the same. We are preparing to allow Western Europe to fall without having it appear that we pushed her. In other words, the present plan is strictly a phony plan for a phony defense, a case of those in the back rooms, where the planning is done by the same crowd that did the planning for China, saying the same thing said about China, namely, we will let them fall, but we will not let it appear that we pushed them. The Mystery of the Serpent 23. In a cafe in Budapest, Hungary in 1919, Jew Jacob H. Schiff revealed another phase of the beast system. It was published in the book Geneva Against PCA-E by Comte de Saint-Aulaire in 1936, in which he quotes Schiff. The health of our golden calf, note the Jew god of gold, demands that certain nations should be sick, namely, those not of themselves to develop. Take for example pre-war Turkey, the sick man, as it was called by diplomats, which helped to keep us healthy. From it we received concessions of every description, banks, mines, harbors, railroads, etc. In short, its whole economical life was in our care. And we cared so well for it that it died, in Europe at least. Now that the accumulation of Turkey's wealth has become common property in the international Jew banking house of Rothschild, and that we have the fulfillment of our mission at hand, of revealing to Christendom the fact that Jewry is Satan, and the re-establishing the world empire of Satan, we need another sick man. This alone would have been sufficient reason, apart from higher consideration, of annihilation of Christianity, for grafting Bolshevism onto Tsarist Russia. Russia is now the sick man of the post-war days, and it is much more nourishing than the Ottoman Empire. It also does less in its own defense. It, the god of gold, is now ready for another feast. Soon Russia will be a corpse, and we shall have nothing left to do but to cut it up. Even if a few drops of blood were spilled in the process, we Jews have no cause to get excited. A few drops of blood spilled in Jewry's efforts to annihilate Christianity. The record shows Jewry is directly responsible for the death in wars, mass murders, in deliberate starvation of more than 144 million people in the past 38 years. When Adolf Hitler began attracting attention beyond Germany with his anti-Jewishness, the Jew Kahila in America selected James P. Warburg of Kuhn, Loeb & Co. to finance him so as to build up a nationalist Germany, then push Anglo-Saxondom into attacking Germany and thus break the back of Christianity in Central Europe so as to pave the way for Jewry to seize all of Europe in the name of Russia in the final prelude to the destruction of the white race and the establishing of Satan's world empire. Major Robert H. Williams reported in his Williams Intelligence Summary for February 1950 about James P. Warburg's part in the plot against Christendom. He says, last November, the widow of the late General Ludendorff, on trial at Nuremberg, explained why her husband broke with Hitler, confirmed the reports in convincing detail. She started that, as early as the summer of 1929, James P. Warburg had undertaken an assignment from Financial Circles in 24 The Mystery of the Serpent. America, which desired to exercise solitary influence on Germany in the unleashing of a national revolution. Warburg's task was to find the suitable man in Germany, and he entered into contract with Adolf Hitler, who subsequently received sums of money amounting to $27 million up to January 30, 1932, and still another $7 million thereafter, enabling him to finance his movement. After the 1919 German Revolution, Dury took over the country lock, stock and barrel. Dury retained power until Hitler came on the scene. Then why was international Jewry so anxious to foment a nationalist revolution in Germany? Because they desired to destroy the Royal Judah tribe of Israel, the Nordic Germans, because Jewry could not absorb them in mongrelization, and to destroy Christianity in Central Europe. After Adolf Hitler received the financial assistance, he disenfranchised the Jews in Germany, then set up a banking system of his own. Nevertheless, Anglo-American intelligence services learned that Hitler, Jew Rudolf Hess and von Papen secretly called on Jew Baron Kurt von Schroeder in Cologne and obtained his guarantee to further finance Hitler's schemes. Schroeder agreed to the proposition after bribing Hitler to place Jews in strategical positions to direct the very heartbeat of National Socialism. Hitler made Jew Hjalmar Schacht the director of the Reich Bank. Rudolf Hess became deputy Führer. He is the son of an Egyptian Jewess. General von Haushofer was made geopolitical minister. He is a Jew. General Milch became head of the Luftwaffe. He is a Jew. Goebbels was with Hitler to the end. He was a Jew, all of which is in accordance with Jury's Protocol No. 15, which says, but if there should arise in its midst a plot, then at the head of that plot will be no other than one of our most trusted servants. Baron Kurt von Schroeder was related to Baron von Schroeder of J.H. Schroeder & Co., Limited, London, England, which, together with Messrs. N.M. Rothschild & Sons, Ruthers, Limited, and the Imperial Chemical Industries assisted James P. Warburg of Kuhn, Loeb & Co. Finance Hitler in accordance with Protocol No. 9, which says, nowadays, if any state raises a protest against us, it is only pro forma at our direction and at our discretion, for their anti-Semitism is indispensable to us for the management of our lesser brethren. Thus the Jew devil will murder his own son so as to get peace, shalom, from one in authority, Maram, which causes fear of the Jew Pachad to rule, Mashal, amidst those he abides, Kum. We next observe the serpent race in PSA 58:4, in which the word poison is chema in the Hebraic. It means anger, heat, fury, rage, hot displeasure, wrath, to be furious. That poison is used on non-Jews having high moral and spiritual strength and refuse to lower the mystery of the serpent 25. Themselves to the level of a Jew. Usually, the approach is by bribery concealed as a gift. When he fails to reach his intended victim, he lets fly the poison of fury, rage and wrath in attempts of character assassination so as to kill one's business or political life. If the person is immune to the poison, and the Jew cockatrice fails to silence the truth about his skullduggery, his final effort comes by using the poison of hot displeasure and he becomes furious in premeditated cold-blooded murder. However, if it is not expedient for the reptile to personally murder his victim, or he is too cowardly to do it himself, he bribes some non-Jew to do the dirty work while the Jew reptile remains in ambush as a respectable citizen whose only crime, to hear him tell it, is being unforeignate of being born a Jew. In Amos 5:19 is the serpent Nashash, as the so-called divine wisdom in the Luciferian doctrine of spiritual illumination. The way the Hebraic word, serpent, is written in the original passage, with bars occult science, the reptile has nothing to crawl under. The wall, which one is going to lean against in our national house, is spiritual salvation through our Lord Christ Jesus. It is the same wall that is prophesied in Isaiah 60:18. One is inviting the sting of the cockatrice if one seeks rest in spiritual salvation as preached by the so-called Christian denominations banded together in the Communistic Federal Council of Churches of Christ, which is sponsored and maintained by Jews in efforts to keep Christ Jesus out of the church houses, then enshrine Satan on one corner of the pulpit. He, as a Jew, has even been made the preacher in some of the denominations. One is guaranteed to receive snake bite if one leans against the false wall of the so-called Christian spiritualist cults which deny the sovereignty of Jesus Christ. Christians are requesting the pastors to define the word Leviathan, which is found in Job 41, 1 PSA 74, 14, 104, 26 and Isaiah 27, 1. The Hebraic for Leviathan is the same as in English. It means crying, mourning, and a great water animal. Job and David are referring to the latter. Isaiah, however, is prophesying about something entirely different, yet he symbolizes it as having characteristics of that great water animal. Isa 27:1 says, "In that day the Lord with his sore and great sword shall punish Leviathan the piercing serpent. Even Leviathan that crooked serpent, and he shall slay the dragon that is in the sea." That word piercing is beriak in the Hebraic. It is synonymous with the word flying in Isa 14:29. The word serpent is nashash, and it is written originally with bars and dots to prove it is the serpent race of Jews. The word dragon is tanan. It means a great sea serpent. The word sea is yam. It means west, west side, western, westward. 26. The mystery of the serpent. One observes, therefore, that particular sea is not a sea of water. Instead, it is the people of Christendom, which is further denoted in the time measurement of the day of the Lord, which is Armageddon. The latter is a place and an era. The era is the 40-year day of Jacob's trouble brought out of the lowest depths of the dimension of spirit by Jury's era of Kali. It began in 1913 and ends in 1953. In the near future we will see the day of the Lord in which Satan's serpent race of Jews will be annihilated in Christendom. It is inevitable so Israel can sweep out and clean up the kingdom of God before the beginning of the millennia. Reign of our Lord Christ Jesus on the throne of David, which is the throne of England today. The annihilation is also portrayed in Psalm 34:5-6, in which the Jew is clearly mentioned by name Idumea Ezek. 35:15-36:5-Zech 14:21, where he again is mentioned by name Canaan, and Rev 21:3. We observe the dragon in Psalm 27:1 is a tanan or a great sea serpent. Then, in Exodus 7:9-10-12, the word serpent is also tanan, but it means a howling dragon, lizard. Inasmuch as he is pronounced in the Hebraic the same as Isaiah's sea serpent, then both creatures are shaped the same, yet one lives on land and the other in water. The one in Isa 27:1 is symbolical, yet the other is a living lizard, and because the Leviathan, serpent and dragon in Isa 27:1 are one reptile symbolized as being shaped like a lizard, then when we observe the Leviathan in Job 41:1-Psalm 74:14-104:26 has the same meaning as the one in Psalm 27:1, we know David and Job are referring to a crocodile. Moreover, when we denote the word, Leviathan also means mourning and crying, and the word piercing is synonymous with the flying in Isa 14:29, then Leviathan is further revealed to be a crocodile. Thus we observe Isaiah in symbolizing the serpent race of Jews have attributes similar to crocodiles when his slithering chicanery backfires in his face when a nation wakes up to the fact that it has been sabotaged and destroyed by Jews who were admitted into the nation so as to find sanctuary from persecution and destruction. The crying, moaning Jew sheds crocodile tears in efforts to win sympathy and pity from the betrayed people driving him root and branch from among them. He flees from the justified punishment and sheds more crocodile tears at the gates of another nation while crying and moaning his age-old lamentation that he is a homeless refugee fleeing from punishment piled on for no reason than that he is a Jew. He is admitted into the sanctuary of the sympathetic nation, and the flying crocodile that he is submerges in the cool water of human decency with only his UNBL inking watery eyes showing above the surface at places where trusting people go to slake the spiritual thirst for God and material needs for the first necessities of life. When they wade out in striking distance of the lurking beast, he grabs them and spiritually and materially devours them without the least pity. The mystery of the serpent 27. Inasmuch as Leviathan refers to a crocodile as well as crying and mourning, it is obvious that, from our ancient Israelite progenitors is where we Anglo-Eon Celtic people obtained the expression of crocodile tears. After coordinating the meaning of the Hebrew words Leviathan, piercing, crooked, flying, serpent and dragon in Job 26:14-29 and 27:1, we observe the Jew crocodile fleeing from his justified punishment -nt in the last hour of the day of the Lord when his slithering, silent chicanery backfires in his unblinking, crying eyes with greater vengeance than in all the annals of history, because it will be the national redemption of the house of Israel from Satan's counterfeit race. Isaiah has warned you. Take heed, stand steady and observe the hand of the Lord at work amidst his people. Be not deceived by the crocodile tears of the mourning Jew. The only sorrow he will have is we, super oxen of his, refuse to abandon Christ Jesus for Satan, then bow down and worship the King of the Jews as God and his race as the lesser gods. Jer 46:22 says, "The voice thereof shall be like a serpent plus or minus, for they shall march with an army, and come against her Egypt with axes, as hewers of wood." It is the cursed serpent race using the Chaldeans as an axe to chop Egypt to pieces so the Luciferian priesthood with the army can move the Egyptian treasure to Babylon and imprison Pharaoh Ouahabra in a Babylonian dungeon and consummate the Babylonian empire in which the serpent priests of finance would rule from Babylon after consummating the world empire of Satan in accordance with Isa. 14:29. The word serpent in the above passage is Nashash in the original, and it is written with the bars and dots to prove it is the serpent priesthood of Babylon, which is substantiated by secular records. Jeremiah's prophecy was fulfilled in 566 B.C., when the Luciferian priesthood succeeded in consummating the great Babylonian empire through King Nebuchadnezzar II. The 29th through the 32nd chapters of Ezekiel prophesy the same episode. In all the annals of history, while the serpents murdered and robbed only another, God used them to destroy their own evilness so as to prevent them from becoming too strong. God placed Nebuchadnezzar II on the throne of Babylon in order to destroy the devil in Tiras, Ezek 28:12-19, and imprison the insane Pharaoh Ouahabra of Egypt so the king of Babylon could incorporate all Western Asiatic civilization into one empire and set the stage to raise up the branch of Satan in whose house his scepter would be broken and God would not permit him to re-establish a world empire. When the Babylonian empire was consummated, God had Satan where he wanted him, and in rapid succession the serpents murdered only another in greediness. 28 The mystery of the serpent. Of each to reign as God, yet the devil in his A. 14 failed to seize open domination and his scepter was finally broken in 330 B.C. when a kinsman of Juri's current god, Prince Abdul-Baraba Baha, Darius III, was murdered by the satrap Beshus, which terminated the great Babylonian empire, and the cockatrice of Isa. 14:29 came out of the lowest depths of the bottomless pit as the devils of the Seleucidean dynasty. The devil, however, left Babylon in 429 B.C. when he moved to Pergamos, Greece, from whence to plot the annihilation of the Israelite house of Judah in order to defeat God's plan for man's ultimate destiny. He failed, however, and Jehovah removed his house of Judah out of Palestine to the Danube basin in 70 A.D. The satanic race of Jews remained in Palestine, and the devil in the form of Jubar Kochab again attempted to regain a world empire by conquering the Roman Empire. Michael, however, used the Romans for his battle axe and weapons of war and broke the devil's scepter again in 135
A.D.
Amos 9:3 says Jehovah would permit the serpent to bite the house of Israel. The word serpent in that passage is Nashash with the bars and dots under the second and third characters to prove he is the devil's counterfeit race of Jews. The prophecy is for this era, and the house of Israel who was promised all the things for the latter days, the Christian dispensation is the Anglo-Saxon Celtic people. True to that prophecy, we, as a people, indeed have been struck by the skulking Jew snake hiding in the ambush of sham patriotism, and we have descended to the lowest depths of spirit, morals and national apathy, the bottom of the sea in Amos 9:3 during the past 38 years. By the grace of God, alone, will we rise to the surface in time to prevent being drowned by the Jew devil who is now attempting to inveigle our government into signing into law the International Genocide Treaty so as to make it impossible for us to grub Jewry out of our nation once our people were to wake up to the fact that Jewry has now pushed us into World War III, in which he purposes to cause the heathen millions of Asia and Africa to extirpate the white race from the face of the earth. In Micah 7:17 is a prophecy repudiating Jewry's grandiose plot of destroying the house of Israel and our Christian faith in God. Micah says the non-Israelite nations will lick dust. It symbolizes cringing fear of being annihilated. However, it is not natural for them to lick dust in the manner of the Jew serpent who licks it in accordance with Gen 3:14 and the meaning of the word flying and crooked in Isa 14:29 and 27, one which is proven when we denote the word serpent in Micah 7:17 is Nashash and written with the bars and dots in the original. The nations will lick dust when world Jewry pushes them in front of Russia in the final effort to annihilate Christendom. It is inevitable. All of Israel's prophets saw it in the dimension of the mystery of the serpent. 29. Spirit, and we lack only time to bring us in proximity with it. The final struggle is set forth in Ezek 38 and 39, in which he names Russia as our adversary, and LD, he in 38:17 is Jewry headed by the devil, Prince Abdul-Baraba Baha, whose image, the Turco-Mogul Jew, Joseph Vissarionovich Djugashvili, alias Joseph Stalin, sits on the serpent throne as the Magog, chief prince of Meshek, or Moscow. In Matt 7:10 and Luke 11:11 is Jewry's Ophidian religion of the Luciferian doctrine of spiritual illumination. It is denoted by the Greek for the word serpent is aphis. In them, Christ says, or if he asks a fish, will he give him a serpent? Since time immemorial, the worship of God was symbolized by a fish. The early Christians identified one to another by the image of a fish instead of the cross. They are regarded as Christ's fishermen in Jer 16:16, Matt 4:19 and Mark 1:17. The symbolism is carried on into Matt 7:9 in the word bread. It is Christ, the spiritual bread of life. In Matt 10:6, Christ Jesus tells his disciples to become as wise as serpents. That word, serpent, is aphis in the original. As Christ Jesus uses the word, we know that serpent is on the same order as the one in Gen 49:17, where Israel tells Dan he would become a serpent. That is what Christ is telling his disciples: observe diligently and learn by experience. Mark 16:18 says the disciples would take up serpents. From that passage and Acts 28, 3-6, Christian clergymen have preached the serpent in Mark 16:18 is a snake, and the deadly thing is a dose of poison. In the original Greek, however, a snake is herpeton. He is found in James 3, 7. The one in Mark 16:18, however, is an aphis, which proves it is of the serpent race of Jews and its Ophidian religion of worshipping Lucifer's divine wisdom. Moreover, in the original Greek of Mark 16:18, the compound word take up is areo. It means to take away. It does not mean to take up as one would pick up anything or as saint. Paul took up the snake in Acts 28, 3-6 and shook it off into the fire. The compound word deadly thing in Mark 16:18 is thanosimos, or belonging to the dead. That word dead is synonymous with the dead things in Job 26, 5. It is the shades as the Jew serpent race. If Christ was referring to the disciples drinking a lethal potion, the original for the word deadly would be thanatos. The drinking is not literal. It is the same as one would say, I drank in his philosophy. Christ Jesus, therefore, was telling his disciples they would take away the Luciferian doctrine from Israel by teaching his glorious plan for spiritual salvation, which will eventually culminate in racial spiritual salvation after national redemption of the house of Israel from Satan's serpent race of Jews. Anyone hearing the message of Christ yet turns from him to the 30, the mystery of the serpent. Serpent's Luciferian doctrine will be destroyed by the serpent in accordance with 2 Chron 10:9. The serpent there is an aphis. One taking that deadly thing to one's bosom renounces spiritual life, because the portions of the Luciferian doctrine aphis which the serpent race theophytes permits us to see seems so logical it appears to be the true way of spiritual salvation. However, it leads one into the swamp of spiritual death, and if one goes all out for it, one drinks the serpent's deadly, misrepresented liberalism, fraternity, brotherhood and equality, then marries a Jew, and one's line is killed in the satanic blood system of Jewry and in turn becomes a vampire. The serpent in 2 Cor 11:3 is an aphis. He is the serpent race of Jews, the same who beguiled Mother Eve. Saint Paul is worried about the Christians being influenced by the new Gnostic version of the Luciferian doctrine revised by Simon Magus, the Simon of Acts 8:9-13, to sabotage the faith in God. In Rev 9:19 is the record of something observed by Saint John when Christ Jesus took him into the dimension of spirit in 35 AD. He says, "For the power is in the mouth, and in the tails, for the tails were like unto serpents." That serpent is an aphis, yet it is not the serpent race or its religion. It symbolizes the type of cannon used by the Turks in 1453 AD when they conquered the Eastern Holy Roman Empire. The war, however, was financed and fomented by Jewry's Greater Sanhedrin, which had been in Constantinople since 79 AD. That cabal remained there until 1552. Archaeologists have recovered guns used in the campaign. The muzzles were cast in the image of a lion's head, Rev 9:17, and their tails were fuses ignited by torches. John describes them as being similar to the serpent, who, in 1453, had his tail anchored around Lhasa, Tibet, from whence came the spark that caused him to belch forth the fire and brimstone of geopolitics which caused the Turco-Mongol invasion of Christendom. In accordance with the genealogical record of Jewry's current devil god, Prince Abdul-Baraba Baha, the serpent in Constantinople in 1453 was the Turco-Mongol Jew Amurath II. From Gen 3 to Rev 9 we have observed the people we know as Jews are the serpent race of the devil, whose evilness is the devil and his demons in the dimension of spirit. To prove it without leaving any doubts in our minds, St. John, in Rev 12, 9 and 22, lays Jury wide open and exposes him all at once as the red dragon, that old serpent which is the devil and Satan. Irrespective of that fact, let us not end this expose at this occasion, because one may yet ask, how can the devil be the king of the Jews, and Jury be satanic, for is not the devil purely a spiritual being down in the lower regions of the earth? Does not the Bible declare the mystery of the serpent 31? The Jews are God's chosen people. The answer to both is, emphatically no. And the biblical message proves it. Any historian knows they are N.T. Gad's chosen people, they are not of Israelite extraction, and the Bible sets forth in plain English that Jewry is the literal household of the devil, and in 1920, Dr. Oscar Levy, a Jew in England, stated in the preface of the book, The World Significance of the Russian Revolution, and not the Jews the inventor of the chosen people myth. The theory of hell being in the nether regions of the earth, or any other place where the devil resides to burn human souls after death of the body is Jewish, and they obtained it from their ancestral devil god, Nergal-Shar-Usur, a son of King Nebuchadnezzar II of Babylon, which was slipped over the head of Christendom in order to deceive us with the lie so we would not see the truth that Jewry is satanic. El Nock of the Adamic line of Seth says in his messianic prophecy the devil came out of the dimension of spirit about 41,000 years ago. He did it on his own accord, and God did not create him, yet Col. 1:16 says God created everything, and John 1:3 says, all things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. That is true. God, however, did not create the devil. Therefore, he and his counterfeit race of Jews are unrealities as a lion and error in the tangible form of humans, John 8:44. God, however, created Lucifer, yet he died when he failed to conform in accordance with divine law, and the spiritual deadness became Satan or God's adversary. He was then thrust out from the throne of God in the high planes of spirit, or heaven, to the lowest depths of the dimension of spirit. He was totally cut off from God and he thought of ways of getting revenge, yet he could not touch God in any manner. Therefore, he came out of the pit of spiritual upside-downness to the material plane without God's approval in order to get revenge against God by spiritually and physically killing man, because man's life force is of God and by killing man the pain would also hurt God. When he was in the pit he was intangible spiritual evilness, yet when he transposed himself to the material plane he was tangible flesh, yet counterfeit because he was in no manner a part of God and the transposition was in direct violation of divine law. Gen 14:18 gives a relative picture of the situation in which God's Christ Son of Righteousness as Melchizedek stepped out of the dimension of spirit to renew his covenant with Father Abraham in the sacrament ritual. He came into the material plane in accordance with divine law, because that law is in his being. He was real and as tangible as Abraham. The wine and bread he brought out of the dimension of spirit was also real and tangible. He and Abraham ate the bread and drank the wine. In Gen 19:1-22 is the record 32, the mystery of the serpent. Of two of the archangels who stepped out of the dimension of spirit into the material plane in the interest of Lot and his family. They ate tangible food cooked by Lot's wife. They were tangible. In Gen 32:24-30 is the record where another archangel stepped out of the spiritual plane and wrestled with Father Jacob all night. He was as tangible as Jacob. In Luke 1:1-38 is the record where Gabriel stepped out of the dimension of spirit to inform Zacharias that his wife would conceive and bear John the Baptist. He then made himself manifest to the Virgin Mary and informed her that she had been selected to be the mother of God. Her son was Jesus Christ, the same as Melchizedek in Gen 14:18. He as Melchizedek could have stepped out of the dimension of spirit in full stature as he did in Gen 14:18. In that condition, however, he would have not been subject to death which he had to endure in order to destroy the devil. It was essential, therefore, for his spiritual energy to be born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, John 1:13, so the devil could murder him then be resurrected in order to cancel spiritual and physical death in the house of Israel, then ultimately for all humanity after Israel teaches men the truth about God and things spiritual and things material without the devil and his satanic race of Jews being around to sabotage and destroy the work. In Acts 1:11 are two of the archangels talking to the disciples of Christ after the latter passed back into the spiritual plane after his resurrection from death. He passed back into the spiritual plane in the same body his disciples loved, walked and talked with, ate and drank with, and that which was pierced on the cross. Yet at the moment of ascension his powers of the cosmos changed the vibratory impulses of the spiritual energy of which his body was made, and the intensity of vibration changed him to tangible, visible spirit as he presented himself to James, Peter and John in Matt 17. The record, therefore, proves when it became necessary for God's Christ Son of Righteousness and his archangels to come into the material plane in accordance with divine law, all that was necessary was merely to change the wavelength of the spiritual energy of which they are made, and the lowering of the vibratory impulses made them visible to human eyes without discomfort, and they were as tangible as any human. They ate, they breathed and they had all the prerogatives of man, and because they were in direct communication with the Eternal Father, they could step into the material plane and back into the spiritual plane with impunity. If it had been in accordance with God's plan for them to remain in the material plane and they had married human women, they could have fathered children as tangible and real as we. On the other hand, however, the devil was totally displaced from the mystery of the serpent 33. God, and when he transposed himself into the dimension of the material contrary to divine law, it was impossible for him to go back into the dimension of spirit because God's spiritual energy was not the composition of the counterfeit substance going in to make the microcosmical order of his body, or the state of being material. From the twice dead beast mongrelizing with human women sprang the people we know as Jews, whose God for all ages has been the current devil, which is proven by John 8:44 and Matt 23:35 proves they are responsible for all bloodshed in our Adamic Israelite household. Today, the devil is the Asiatic Jew Prince Abdul Baraba Baha. He resides in Johns Hopkins University, Baltimore, Maryland. He was proclaimed in 1950 to be Jewry's God by Jewry's Grand Orient Freemasonic Lodge of B'nai B'rith in New York City. He is the prophesied King of Fierce Countenance in Dan 8:23-25, the Jew God in Zech 8:23, the King of all Jew Antichrists in Matt 24:24, the current Jew God in John 5:43, the Man of Sin in 2 Thess 2 and the Dragon in Rev 13:13-18. Enoch says when the devil transposed himself into the dimension of the material he was also materially dead, although possessing a type of animation. Then, the word dead, used by Jude to describe the condition of the devil's household of Jews, is apothonesco, in the Greek. Its meaning is the same as that for the brute, in 2 Peter 2:12, the dead, in Matt 9:24, John 6:49 and other places too numerous to mention here. It means precisely what it says: without life, be a dying, to be dead. John 8:43-47 shows the spiritual deadness when Christ Jesus accused the Canaanite Akkadidamine devils of not being capable of hearing his word. That word, here, is akouo. It means understanding. They were, and remain, void of spiritual perception, which is the darkness, in 2 Peter 2:4, because they are totally cut off from God. Despite our expose of Jewry being satanic, however, there are Christians who attempt to repudiate us. They refuse to accept secular records, and even Jewry's private epistles, and base the contention solely on the surface appearance of 2 Kings 19:30, Isa 37:31, Jer 23:6, 33-16, Joel 2:32, Zech 12:5-7-12, Acts 2:21, Rom 10:13. They declare they know the Bible, which definitely proves the above passages guarantees the house of Judah, the Jews, will take root downward and produce spiritual fruit upward. Judah, the Jews, shall be saved by the grace of God. Jerusalem, the city in Palestine, shall dwell safely. All, including the Jews, calling on Christ in the day of the Lord, shall be saved and delivered from sin and damnation. And the house of David, the Jews, shall look on Christ who they pierced, then repent and rule the world with him. There are more than 16,000 words in the King James Bible translated erroneously and an innumerable number used improperly. Therefore, let us look at the Hebraic and Greek in the above citations. The 34. The mystery of the serpent. Hebraic for the words, again, and take, in 2 Kings 19:30 and Isa 37:31 are synonymous as yasif. It means, to add. Root, is shosh, or root as a means of support. Downward, is matter underneath. Bear is ash, bring forth. Upward is lamala, high degree as being exalted. Then, inasmuch as the place underneath is synonymous with the under in Job 26:5, that place is the lowest depths of the dimension of spirit. In both passages Isaiah is prophesying about a remnant of Judah escaping from Palestine. They were the two daughters of deposed King Zedekiah, Princess Tamar Tephi and Scota, evacuated from Palestine in 584 B. C. Tamar Taffy's descendants are the royal line of Ireland. Scotia's descendants are the royal line of Scotland. Those are the ones who would descend to the lowest depths of the dimension of spirit, then bring forth fruit that would be exalted. That fruit is Antichrist Fabianism and communistic socialism brought forth by the Scot-Irish Jew mongrels who added it to the British government for a means of support after exalting it above government by Christians. The Hebraic for the word saved in Jer 23, 6 and 33, 16 is Yasha. It means to be safe. It is synonymous with dwelling safely. In Acts 2, 21 and Rom 10, 13 the word saved is sozo in the Greek. It means to be whole. The word delivered in Joel 2, 32 is palata. It means escape. All are synonymous as escaping without injury during the day of the Lord when one calls on Christ for deliverance. If they were to receive spiritual salvation, the Hebraic for the word would be chair or quicken. In the Greek it is soteria. Christ does not offer spiritual salvation to any Jew, John 7, 33, 34, Mark 4, 11-15, because he is totally cut off from God, Gen 4, L 4, verified by Luke 11, 51 as to the Jew being Cain. The Talmud also says Jewry is Cain. He is the counterfeit race cursed by God, Isa 34, 5, 6. Jehovah Christ Jesus offers Jewry no physical safety in the day of the Lord, and Isa 34, 5, 6 proves it. It even mentions Jewry by names in that passage Idumea, the descendants of the Canaanite Horem serpents who absorbed Esau then took his name of Idumea, or the Edomites. Joel 2:30 and Zek 14:12-15 prophesy the thing from which Judah will be safe in the day of the Lord. It is atomic and radioactive contamination. Joel describes the explosions as pillars of smoke. That word pillar is timeroth in the Hebraic. It means symbolical palm trees, and everyone knows the tempest released from atomic bomb explosions take the shape of palm trees. Then, 2 Peter 3 shows the Holocaust wrought by the hydrogen bomb which Jew David Eli Lilienthal assisted to give our secrets to his brother Jews in Cus 1a to use against God's kingdom of Anglo-Saxon Celto Israel. In Zek 12:5 it is prophesied that Judah will say, the inhabitants of Jerusalem shall be my strength in the Lord of hosts the God. Verse. The mystetty of the serpent 35. 7 says, the Lord also shall save the tents of Judah first. That word, save, is Yasha, or be preserved. Judah is the Nordic Germans. That city of Jerusalem, in the majority, are the Anglo-Saxon Celtic people, the city of God. Germany got away from God during the time of Hitler and have not returned to him as formerly. The above Jerusalem is not the city in Palestine, and the so-called Israelites in that city is serpent whose object of worship is the devil. When we purge our house of that cursed race and return to God, he will do the rest. The Germans will observe the change, and in that day will I make the governors of Judah like a hearth of fire among the wood, and like a torch of fire in a sheaf, and they shall devour all the people around about on the right hand and on the left hand. Zek 12, 6. That prophecy shows Western Germany will be overrun by Soviet Russia, yet she will break clear and annihilate the Jews in revenge against that counterfeit race attempting to destroy the German nation by the Morgenthau Plan and forcing German women to yield to Mongolian men to destroy the remnant in mongrelization. Germany will defeat Russia in Europe and win the respect of Israel, verse 7. Verse 10 shows the house of David which is now magnifying itself against Germany in the Jew Morgenthau Plan are the murderers of Christ Jesus. From that passage, the obstinate Christians declare Jewry will repent and accept Jesus Christ. It is not true. When the Canaanite Jew reptiles killed Christ, the only members of the house of David in Palestine were Joseph of Arimathea and his family, Joseph, husband of Mary the mother of Christ Jesus, and the kin. All others were in the British Isles. Those in Palestine did not murder Christ Jesus. The members of the house of David who pierced Jesus Christ are the Jew Irish Scot English mongrel offspring of the British blooded aristocracy. The house of David receiving grace and supplication in the day of the Lord is the immediate family of King George VI, which has withstood the tremendous pressure of the serpent and kept his line of David pure Israelite. Even Edward VIII married a serpent Mrs. Simpson, Bernard M. Baruch's protege, in who he hoped to put Satan on the throne of God. Those mongrels are the children of Satan and are as guilty of the murder of Christ Jesus as the serpents in Jerusalem in 30 AD, when they asked that his blood be on them and the children. Being Jew, therefore, they are totally cut off from God. When they look upon Christ Jesus in the day of the Lord, they will mourn with bitterness, yet it will profit them nothing, because they are of the devil. Zek 12:12 minus 14 says those and other Jew mongrels in the house of Israel will mourn apart. That word mourn is safad in the original Hebraic. It means to beat the breast in lamentations and wailing. The word apart is pronounced bad in the Hebraic. Now, bad has. 36. The mystery of the serpent. Several meanings and is written four different ways. First, it means bars, branches, staves, strength. Second, is labad, which means to be alone, by self, of each other only. Third, bad, eye, linen cloth. Fourth, bad, is liar, lies. The word alone in Zek. 12:12-14 was originally written in the latter manner. It is the Jew I, one ongrels in the house of David and other F.A. Millies of I.S.R.E.E.L. who will L.I.E. and shed crocodile tears, Isa. 27:1 in the day of the Lord in efforts to win sympathy and escape the punishment so as to be given another opportunity to sabotage and destroy man, beat out of him his faith in God so the Jew devil can set up his world empire of Satan and have he world all of his own in similar manner as his ancestral father Cain is doing in Gen. 4:14. Tilde. Caution, we believe the statement relative to the house of Dav.id on page 35, line 29 is not broad enough. Fear tilde for tilde w tilde revise it to the house of David receiving grace and supplication m the day of the Lord is the immediate family of the late King George I and other families of the British blooded aristocracy who have withstood tilde e tremendous pressure of the serpent and kept their inner of David pure Israelite.